jackets got some swing. Mr. Pinstripe Sue, hey Mr. Heidi, Heidi Ho. Well, I know you got the answers. We all wanna know. Mr. Wingtip Shoes, hey Mr. Always on the go. Well, I know you got the answers. We all wanna know. Well, I know you got the answers. We all wanna know. Well, I know you got the answers. Yeah, we all wanna know.
Yes, that's what I want you to do as you tune in to Jazz Montage on Wednesdays from 4 to 6 o'clock p.m., where I will be giving you a variety of jazz styles, jazz artists, and jazz time periods. So tune in to me, LaBeth, L-A-B-E-T-H, on Jazz Montage at 89.3 WHFR Dearborn. The only station making jazz waves.
With somebody new, but does that mean that I've been untrue when we're apart? The words in my heart.
This is WHFR Dearborn. And now our public affairs show, the new WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views. And we're live in the studio here. You might have heard us talking in the background because we're so excited. There's so much happening in Dearborn and the surrounding areas, and here we are once a week to try to put it all together for you. My name is Jay Koronek. Happy to be with you today on the new, it's so new, it chokes me up, the new WHFR Journal. And with me in the studio is our WHFR news team, our news director, Dennis Reimars, and Amy Powers, our WHFR reporter. Hey, let's, every week I give you a different title, but
I look forward to hearing the new title every
yeah,
week.
Yeah, right. So we'll find something.
You get your name right, though.
And of course, the pay is the same, which
no matter.
Yeah, it's nothing, you know, but that's volunteers here at WHFR. And in looking at the stories, let's, you know, from Dearborn and the surrounding area, what matters to you most right next door. Let's take a look. Amy's got an update on a story we did last week. And by golly, our hopes were supported. And it is now a fact.
This coming from the Dearborn Heights Times-Herald Wednesday, February 10th, yesterday, 2 days ago. The most interesting thing that pops out to me is Senator Levin had addressed that there was a $2.5 million grant or money that would be coming to the city for the train station. It's actually, according to J. Patrick Pepper, a U.S. Department of Transportation memo obtained last week by the Times-Herald indicates that roughly $28 million in federal grant money has been set aside for the intermodal rail station in Dearborn. So that's considerable. It really is a game changer.
Yes, I think it is wonderful that it's going to pay for the whole cost. So often federal money, and this is really tough on local communities, they pay for half of it. It's so-called federal matching funds. And that's okay. It's often a real jumpstart or an incentive, and it does cut the cost in half or a third or whatever the matching funds are. But we're looking forward to that. And there's nothing in the article, is there? Let's scan on page 2A here about, about completion. I know that we reported.
Well, they did address it should be completed within 2 years with this amount.
Right. Yeah. Mary Landrosh last week made that statement, and it was a caption under a photo. She's the public information officer here in Dearborn, and she said it'll happen in 2 years. So they better get digging. As soon as the thaw happens, they're going to be out there. And this is going to be folks in the West Dearborn area. It's definitely west of Southfield Expressway, whereas our current train station, the Amtrak station we have now, a very small little building, it's on the east side of Southfield. And I'm just wondering what they're going to do with that building when it's vacant in 2 years. I wonder if finally they can give it to, even though it's right by the railroad tracks, give it to the Dearborn Animal Shelter. You know, that is just immediately east of land where there is a big sign, future home of Dearborn Animal Shelter. But they had to raise $6 to $10 million, which they just don't have the money yet to even start building it. That sign said it would be a fact in 2008, I think.
Yeah.
Then
the economic crunch.
They couldn't find the money anywhere. Sure. And maybe they do have some money saved towards it, but they haven't started an official fund drive for that because it's just so much money. But I wonder if they get the train station, if that's a start, because it has electricity, it's got water, running water. They could add on to that. And they might have to redo the area to get enough space because they need a much larger space than what they have now. But it's just a matter of tearing up some parking space. They probably don't need as much parking space as the current train station has. So.
Right. Has that been proposed?
No. Okay. I'm proposing it right now on this station. Hey. Okay. We're setting the pattern. We're giving ideas to people. And if you like that idea, why don't you suggest it to Mayor O'Reilly or the Dearborn Animal Shelter at least? I mean, I bet they're thinking about that because their sign in the land that the city council so supposedly promised to them, if they had the money to build it, is right there just immediately east of the current train station. So, Dennis, let's try your mic. Go ahead.
I'm just thinking about, you talked about the economy and how that made things tough. And wasn't there a situation, I know there was, where they found a couple of different houses that had just a ton of different pets in them, and the animal shelter took that on, and that was very expensive, too. And I know they had a lot of support from the community, but there's still a lot of that, the financial burden fell on them.
Well, they've been overloaded with unwanted pets and overbred pets for the last couple of years. I know that I think that crisis in particular, they had to rent extra trailers to have space for the additional animals.
Exactly.
Mm. So they're way beyond their situation there. I'm personally a financial supporter, little as it is, but I everything I can do for them, along with all the other things that need to be done in this world. I they're a wonderful organization. They're volunteer based,
right? Mm-hmm.
Sort of like WHFR, and they have some people at the top who are paid. I think they have one veterinarian, sort of the supervising veterinarian, Dr. Cheryl Good, I think, is still that person, and Elaine Green has been their executive director since they started. And the city lets them run it, and they pay them a small amount. But it's way below what they need to actually do it. So they have to raise all the other funds themselves.
Absolutely.
And they're very active. And you may not know this, but it's actually, I mean, Dennis, on your HFCC Connection this week, and just an aside here, folks, if you want to hear what's coming up at Henry Ford Community College for the month of February, and maybe a little bit into the other months too, Dennis and Lindsay co-host this show once a month on the first Tuesday from 1 to 2 p.m., and it's now available as a podcast. So if they just go to the forum the forum button on the WHFR website, whfr.fm, they click on, the date's backwards, sort of. It's like the year, month, and day. So it's 2010, 02, 09.
Right.
The last one there, the one at the top of the list, they can listen online or they can download it. If they click on that, they can also download it as an MP3 to listen to some other time. And that's a great summary. Thank you for doing that each week with Lindsay of what's coming up for the month. And certainly you do add a personal touch to all these activities, and you have gone to many of them. And I think the community as a whole, not just college students, it's for the community as a whole to know what resources we have available if they want to come here and just be entertained or informed for free. Or, of course, you talk about classes and enrichment programs and things for everybody, credit classes too. And so it's a great service. But thank you for that. And that's available now. But getting back to the story here about the animal shelter and the local economy, I think that would be an ideal choice to take the old train station in that location. And because it's already got some electrical lines and water lines there, that's got to be the basis for a cheaper basis for a new facility, mm-hmm. rather than building it from the ground up.
I would think so.
And they, again, they could reduce the size of the parking lot in order to get more space for that future building. So I hope that's a jump start to get that project going. We'll see what happens. They have to do something with it. It's not just going to be an overflow lot for the circuit court, I don't think.
Let's hope we don't need that.
More criminals. We need more court cases, and we need more parking for the people who are charged.
There's another building justifying. Back there, isn't there? Is it like a Department of Public something building?
Well, there's a powerhouse, actually, that somehow underground handles electricity and heating and cooling for those buildings in that area, especially the civic center and the city hall.
Right.
Not city hall, the...
Courthouse?
Courthouse, yes.
Sure.
And
the
library
is there.
The library is part of that power, I bet, too, because that's a... I assume the train station that's right there is probably part of that electrical heating cooling.
That's what I was thinking. Everything, right, like you said, it's almost self-contained. That's a really good idea.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Almost too logical.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
Well, but it's going to be so exciting. And if you don't know where this is in West Dearborn, the new train station, which is now a go, they haven't got, haven't chosen a developer. That's always fun. Or a contractor. but they got the money. They got the money. It's not a matter of raising the money or getting... franchise stores to come in to put pony up money. They got the money. And so they should be able to just get the details going for the buildings, which I think they already have all the blueprints, just sort of finalize them. And they got the land. And just go out there and ask for a contractor to bid on building it. It's going to be immediately east of the Lincoln Mercury dealer there. Is that Demmer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They changed their name from something else before.
Jack Demmer, right?
I think it's Jack Demmer, Lincoln Mercury.
Okay.
And Cadillac dealership right next to it. He changed. He became a Cadillac franchise dealer when, remember, there was an Oldsmobile dealer east of Telegraph on Michigan Avenue. And that went belly up. And they had Cadillac also. And they just closed the whole thing. And so he somehow got the franchise for Cadillac. In any event, not an ad for him, but the lots immediately east of him. And, of course, I know he has a used car lot there. And I don't know if he's giving that up or not, but from that used car lot on to close to Southfield.
Well, the hotel there, right? The Hampton Inn or whatever.
Hampton Inn won't be affected, but between the Hampton Inn and that used car lot is enough room for the new intermodal station.
It's a huge area. Good.
Yeah. And it formerly was basically Ford Motor land mm-hmm. that they have donated, I think, for this purpose.
Right.
And it'll be a great asset. They are talking now about the several different ways, and it'll be the first time that Henry Ford Museum Greenfield Village has a stop on the train line.
Yeah, that's tremendous.
And I think they talked about how they might have several ways people could get into the village from there, whether they just want to start walking or they want to take a buggy cart, horse-drawn cart. So they're still thinking about that, or at least they've got those options. But it's actually going to be a stop not only for Dearborn, but also, and maybe you have to walk under the bridge or under the tracks or something to get there or get off on the other side of the track. They usually have.
Well, they talked about a pedestrian bridge.
Pedestrian walkway over the railroad.
Over the railroad.
That's from the station to Henry Ford's Northeast.
It's the heck out of piggyback rides, right?
It's a great design. I went to the presentation, was it last November, when the mayor gave a presentation on local businesses, and I don't get out much, so it was a nice night to do it. Very exciting. Very complete plans. Of course, they had beautiful artist conceptions with hand-painted trees and so on, and it looked lovely. So 2 years, folks, and we're going to have a new train station in Dearborn, part of a hub of transit. Not only can you get to Ann Arbor, but you should be able to get, because another stop they're going to build is at the airport.
Oh, tremendous.
So at Metro Airport. So you won't have to get a taxi, folks.
We talked about that. I mean,
hop on the train. It can't be more than $5 to get from here to the airport. I don't know what they'll charge for that limited route, but small fee, maybe a couple bucks even. And then at that train station, I understand you'll have to take a little shuttle bus to get to a terminal.
Fine.
But it's going to save people a lot of money. Right now, I think I mentioned on the air because I just flying a plane twice a year and had to go to Metro, and the Metro taxi car people lost their contract with the airport. And all that's out there now is the limos. Okay, the limos, which are much more expensive.
What are they, like 40?
Yeah, 40 to get to Dearborn, when previously, and if you ride from Dearborn out, you get, I think we talked about this last week, Lorraine Taxi,
right.
Dearborn Taxi is only about 30. So this whole train thing is wonderful. No high-speed rail money yet, but that's in the plans. They'll have land for it, and as soon as the money comes together, that'll be, you really need the station, I think, first. Otherwise, the high-speed trains won't have any place to stop, you know. But if they can stop, I assume that Toyota is not designing their brakes. Okay, bad joke.
No, it is Ford country.
So. Yes.
Okay. Very apropos. Does it talk at all in the article about the long-term, the high-speed? Because I thought some of this money was actually coming to us because of the bigger picture later.
Well, I think so. I think that was an incentive.
There. You know, okay, that's the word plan. I was looking for. Thank you.
That they know this is a major step forward, and that's why we need the station there. They talked about high-speed rail. There is high-speed rail money going to various places in the country, but not here right now in this first time around.
Gotcha.
And again, I think we really need that train station in place and the extra land available, because they need separate tracks. They can't use the same tracks for the high-speed trains.
Completely, you're right.
Yeah. And they're going to add some extra tracks off to the side, you know, from other trains to pull in and get out of the way. So it's great. Dennis, you had a story. Go.
I do, and it's in the same reference point as far as bringing in money. We talked, I want to say a couple months ago, when we first started looking at ways to cut costs and raise revenue in the school districts, we talked a little bit. One of the ideas was advertising. Do you remember this, Jay? Signs on the buses, I think, was the big in Dearborn.
Yep. Well, ethical dilemma. Even of course, the other advertising question is, what about ads in the schools? I mean, posters on the walls.
Absolutely.
Or branding on your burgers or something.
And then okay. Well, that's a new one to me. But you're exactly right. Where does it stop? Well, apparently the Dearborn Heights, and they say D7, so that would be the district, Dearborn Heights District 7, is looking at this advertising signs in the school and on the website very, very seriously, to the point where it'll be actually voted on by the community on March 1st. And I think you had said that you'd they're doing something similar in Dearborn, although it may not have got to the voting stage. Is that accurate? Where they're not quite voting on the thing, but they've tossed around the idea of advertising pretty seriously.
Yes. And I thought I saw something here this week that
it's
definitely on the table.
Right.
Yeah, D7 is going ahead, but it's definitely on the table in Dearborn, some sort of advertising. I think there's definitely, I think, a need to regulate the kinds of ads. We don't want ads for junk food, for things that'll be bad for our kids.
Right.
So I think that they have to reserve some time. I mean, I'm even against the machines on this college campus. I know they're popular, and I know we get a percent of every Coca-Cola and other sugary soft drink or strange sugar-sweetened drink that's there. But those are empty calories. And maybe even some of the additives are harmful, and that many people say. I don't think the college or public money should be enforcing behavior that might harm people. Just like, I mean, I don't think we have any cigarette machines on campus because we have a
probably
no smoking campus.
Right.
We have a no smoking campus. So,
but
we used to, and we used to make a lot of money from the machines.
Right.
But these machine vendors, they can be. You can put a little pressure on them to put in some fresh food. It's true, it spoils faster. We've got a lot of people here. I'm sure that they would eat fresh food a little more often. Now, we don't want to have too much competition for a great cafe, the WHFR Studios in the Student Center building here on the main campus of HFCC. We're right across from the Skylight Cafe. And yes, there are skylights. Well, not in the restaurant part, but right outside of it here. And we can see them. I can see them right now. Oh, boy. And they have a lot of freshly made food. It's not branded. And they're salads. But, you know, we've got certain other things in there, sugary things and other things that if people want to eat it, fine. Won't kill them right away, you know. But I think, and what I'm saying is that whatever advertising goes in the schools, I think the schools should be very wary of not trying to recommend things that might be harmful to the kids. Like, advertising a very violent video game in a poster or something.
Oh, sure, sure.
That's not going to be good.
But it does. It goes beyond common sense because you're exactly right. I think whatever advertising is up there will be looked at as being endorsed.
Oh, sure.
By the school. And so, you're exactly right. They have to be extremely cautious.
There's a matter of taste, I guess. Sure. You know, I'm always, sometimes I follow track racing and road racing, and like the cars from Indianapolis 500 and other races, they have advertising sponsorship stickers all over them.
Oh.
In fact, I think if the stickers came off, the cars would fall apart. You know,
it's possible.
You know, it's another skin there. And it just, I think... Is this the spirit of road racing, to have all these stickers all over about this and
financial,
that and everything?
Yes.
I mean, they've got ads for banks on the cars. I mean, I understand gasoline or oil company ads, you know, on cars, or car ads on the cars for the model that they are, you know, like Ford would put their logo on something. But
this is how bad, and you're right. And you know, my previous life was print media. So, but when there's a job exists in line with the racing, car racing, the job is for a gentleman at the end of the race to walk by the winner being interviewed with a company logo on his hat and make sure that he is seen for a matter of a few seconds, and then he walks on. That's his sole job. Yeah, marketing is pretty important in racing.
Yeah.
So, no, but I'm looking at this as a way to increase revenue. I strongly support this if done the right way. And I'm really glad to see that they're looking at these kind of creative options.
Well, I think it's also a question of, you know, done the right way, who's in, you know, who's sort of the moral authority on what...
I'll decide. No.
On what advertising is best for students to be exposed to. So,
our board of ed. I mean, maybe the superintendent by delegation. He usually decides everything anyway. But, I mean, let the Board of Ed speak out. Let them get a list of what the superintendent is recommending, and they can say yay or nay. They'll take all the pressure off him. But they don't really want to be making decisions that they could be criticized for, and they won't get reelected to their low-paying jobs. You know, I mean, I'm just not politically the way it is. If there's a bad decision, they may go along with it grudgingly, but they'll, you know, all the blame will go on Winston.
Oh, here, right in line with exactly what Jay's saying. Here is the third to last sentence of this article. Board members asked some questions, but most did not give any indication what they thought of the proposal.
Sure. Yeah. Line of politics.
Right. Right. But you know what? And I wonder how much input the parents will have at that meeting on March 1st, because I sure would like a say in what's in my kids' schools.
Yeah.
You know?
Here's something also talking about the schools. This is from last Sunday's Dearborn Press and Guide. We always should attribute these stories where we grab them from folks. We don't do a lot of original, you know, investigative reporting here. We don't have the budget. Well, we don't have any budget at all. But sometimes we get around, and certainly Amy and Dennis and I do turn up at the strangest places in the real world every now and then.
Yes.
All-day kindergarten is going well in Dearborn. Well, I didn't even know they had that. So here, folks, if you didn't know about this and you got some young person here in Dearborn that might be getting ready for this, Dearborn's first full batch of all-day kindergarten students is already well ahead of where the half-day students stood at this time last year. Duh, they have more time to handle curriculum. You see, there's curriculum in kindergarten.
Right.
Yes. They actually teach and train a limited number of pre-verbal skills and, you know, group activities. And it's an acculturation process, a socialization process in kindergarten. And it's not, although it's not a Montessori program here, and we did hear that the Montessori program in Dearborn was slated to be canceled. And I don't know if it's coming back in the fall or not. I don't know if they're going to reconsider that. There's a great Montessori facility that is a Montessori school all by itself that's grades 1 through 8 in Dearborn Heights, by the way.
Okay.
And that's been there for years and years, and it's highly recommended. All kinds of recommendations. All kinds of kids go there. It's extra cost. You got to pay
the
tuition.
Is that Warren Avenue, like just west of Telegraph, I think? I think I know.
I've been there once, and I can't. It's west of Telegraph, and it's north of Ford Road, definitely. But
okay.
I can't remember across
all
street.
Right.
But nonetheless, I mean, I think my daughter went to Montessori. That's how I know that, and I've read Maria Montessori, the founder, her books about the philosophy of their educational program, especially for preschoolers. And I'm a big supporter of it. I mean, my daughter turned out well. Of course, a lot of factors in that, folks. A lot of luck too. If your parents are out there, you know, it's not easy raising kids these days. Or any day, for that matter. But this is good. This is a good direction. First of all, it doesn't require the parents that have to have two incomes to find some sort of daycare for half a day. They can have the same location. The kids are not shuttled back and forth from like daycare to kindergarten, and they're going to get more curriculum. They're going to get more training. And everybody knows, in education anyway, that the earlier you start kids in the process of learning, and make it a positive thing, the more they'll learn, the faster they'll learn even later. Okay, so they need this jump start of kindergarten, so-called, but also Montessori-type curriculum to get them in, you know, so they sail through first grade.
When you say...
Well, there's number counting, there's reading skills, all very basic. Mm-hmm. But from 2.5 on, Montessori has approaches to that, which is, just summarizing here, because there's whole books about it, and I'm not an expert, as most people know that listen to the show. But it's non-threatening education. So it's not reward and punishment, which is common in our schools. You know, if you do good... will tell you. If not, you're shunned, or you're given a bad grade or something, or your peer group will laugh at you. So there's none of that. That's completely removed in the Montessori classroom. Plus, the classroom itself is actually, and this is a side aspect, but a good example of the environment, is maintained by the kids. They do the cleaning of the classroom. They pile up the chairs at the end of the day, and they put the chairs down for themselves. There's also carpets they use for different activities. So they do that. So they are responsible for the condition of the classroom. And amazingly, if you ever take a tour of a Montessori classroom, and this may be true in the Dearborn schools too, in certain classrooms, there's no yelling, no screaming. There's complete respect for the teachers and the other students. And how it's maintained, you say, well, that's got to be magic. I mean, wouldn't every parent want to know how to do that?
Right.
But it works. I've seen it myself. My daughter went to, not to the Montessori in Dearborn Heights, but there was, at that time, a couple decades ago, a Montessori in Southgate, and we enrolled her in that. And a great experience for her, and really gave her a head start on all of her learning.
And you keep bringing up the Montessori school in connection with the Dearborn public schools. Is that under the heading?
Well, it's a separate
public school.
No, what he's saying is that the all-day kindergarten is following some of the philosophies of the Montessori.
Well, because it has a curriculum, I'm not sure what the details are, but a lot of people think kindergarten is just sort of active day school or something, but they do have a learning curriculum. There's a picture here in the Press and Guide from last Sunday of Howard kindergarten teacher Sandy Smith, and she's reading to her students, and that's kindergarten. So there's actually all-day classes, and they look for improvement in reading, writing, and self-confidence, even at the kindergarten level. So it's coordinated. That's the thing. It's not just, well, today we're going to use our crayons, and tomorrow we're going to walk around
I really do think that's happening in public schools and in kindergarten. I don't think it's elevated daycare in the public schools kindergarten programs. They're coming out, they're learning pre-reading schools,
And there's no cost if you're a Dearborn resident.
Okay, that was my next question.
Public school education, there's no cost.
Oh,
okay,
well,
kindergarten is no cost.
I meant Montessori.
Right. Well, the Dearborn Montessori, I think, might have, the Dearborn Public Schools Montessori might have had an extra cost.
Okay.
But last time I read something a couple months ago about budget cuts, they won't be coming back in the fall. And if that's true, and it may not be, but I read it, that's on the list to be eliminated. We won't have that option, even if it does cost something. Okay. I bet it's cheaper than the Montessori in Dearborn Heights, which is, it's $1,000 a semester or more for the child. It's,
okay.
I don't know. It's expensive. I think it's worth every penny. But so are the Dearborn Public Schools, worth every penny, since you're not paying anything up front.
You're paying
it up front, but you're not paying it after the fact, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, real quick, Dearborn is tapping into Nixle. Either one of you ever heard of Nixle, N-I-X-L-E?
No.
Okay. To get information out to residents. Okay. Dearborn has made a deal, the city of Dearborn, with community information provider Nixle, N-I-X-L-E. So any message, important and timely message about the city, you can get directly through email, online, or in a text message to your phone if you sign up. And that's in place now, believe it or not. No charge. It's free for Dearborn residents. You go to www.nixle.com and type Dearborn, Michigan into the search to see the latest post. But an account must be set up with Nixle in order to receive messages, which is free.
I wonder what they do with your information. That's...
Well, let's hope it's private somewhat.
I'm not at liberty to say.
They're not selling it out. But, Dearborn has had this problem of notifying people about emergency situations. cable TV, if you're watching a pay channel, you don't get the messages through the EAS. If you're listening to WHFR, you get them, though, folks. Let me just say that.
Mm-hmm.
But EAS doesn't go through. It goes through regular cable channels, but the special pay-per-view and the pay movies, because you're paying for it, for some reason, the EAS doesn't scroll on that. You'll be watching HBO movie as your tornado hits your house.
Yeah, you pay for the right not to be warned.
Yeah, right. But let's not worry about EAS. But the city installed years ago this terribly ineffective system of speakers on every major telephone pole, east and west. And somebody in, I guess, the mayor's office or public information can directly flip the switch and say, no, they probably say real words, but that's what it sounds like coming out of the speakers.
That was an incredible imitation.
It
sounded exactly
just like that, yeah. And the only thing it's effective for is the once-a-month test just to scare you at 1, is it 12 noon or 1 p.m. on the first Saturday.
Yeah, that's funny.
And that works. You can hear the siren. But even if you're indoors and maybe in the basement, you've got your windows closed and so on, you won't even hardly hear that. But that does alert you. There might be a warning. And I don't think the city's taking that out. But they know, and we've talked to the mayor here, they know that the audible information, the spoken stuff, is just can't be heard by people indoors in Dearborn. And even outside, it comes across like a bad speaker at a drive-in fast food restaurant, you know, order line. You sure you want that Whopper? You know, it's even worse.
They should just stick to one word, run or duck or
now,
something like that.
Now, of course, we have volunteered WHFR to the city for those messages, and we haven't worked out that relationship yet. In an emergency, we actually need some backup power supply, whether it's batteries directly or wind power or solar or something. And they're looking into that. They've been looking into that the last couple of years. We're looking for a grant. Looks like we didn't get a grant in stimulus money this last time around. It would have been a green project and also a community service. But so if we get that, certainly I know that the city in a crisis or something, we'll get the police to drive a message over here, and we'll broadcast it if we have power. You know, there's no doubt about that. Be glad to help. But Nixle is interesting, and I'm surprised it's buried on page, is it 5A, of last Sunday's paper. I don't know how the city will, it's a problem. How does the city get the message out about Nixle?
Yeah.
If you're not signed up, you don't know unless you read the paper or listen to the new WHFR Journal, WHFR.fm. Station making waves. Okay, we're about halfway through our hour, but we got a lot more stories to go. There is, we mentioned candidates, and maybe I'll come back at the end of the hour, but in the Sunday here, candidates for governor. Jennifer Granholm, term limited, cannot run again. A lot of people are happy about that, including some Democrats, but, you know, we've had a terrible time here in Michigan, and I don't know if changing a face will make a difference, but maybe some new policies or programs or different types of leadership.
Accountability?
Well, I don't know. But anyway,
budget.
The sheriff in Oakland County, Bouchard, what's his first name here? Michael Bouchard. He's running for the GOP gubernatorial candidate, and he had, I think, a fairly dumb idea that they give a whole half page to in the Press and Guide about a tax moratorium on construction of homes and businesses. So it seems that when your property is increased in value, if you build a garage or a patio or something, immediately you're going to pay more taxes.
Right.
Because the building code permit is on file, and, well, this is $3,000, so we're going to raise your assessment, your estimated value of your property. And he said 12-month incentive, sort of a 12-month tax postponement for all homeowners and businesses that would enable them to renovate, remodel, and expand without increasing their property tax budget. So, and it wouldn't be counted until the property is sold. So, in other words,
that's
it wouldn't
more
be
than 12 months.
Yeah, but it's 12 months or not. I'm sorry, I misread it. But it's 12 months they're not going to, if accepted, the proposal is accepted, that they're not going to add the extra cost of the improvement. Now,
we almost get that right now.
Yeah.
Depending on when
my comment here, just because he's got a whole half page, okay. My comment is that this tax is invisible to most people because even if their property has gone up in value, the market value is always going down. So they don't. The average person won't notice. But if you're going to put a couple million bucks into your corporate business, into Ford Motor, if they see this, or oh my, all the big businesses will go for that because maybe they'll never sell their business. Their property.
Oh, so it's not just a residential.
No, it's homeowners and business. So it's the people that are going to put millions in that will see an immediate advantage, and also long term, they'll never pay taxes on that increased property. I expect Ford will start building like crazy if Bouchard is elected and if this passes. So if you have the money to do it, and you know it's going to be wonderful, especially if you're not going to ever sell your property. If Ford, for example, does couple million dollar improvement in their land in Dearborn, for example, or anywhere in Michigan, and they never sell the land, they'll never have to pay the increased cost in taxes.
Ford donates a lot of land too, don't they?
I don't want to overstate, but we already said that they're I believe they're donating that land for the new train station.
I wonder what that there's nothing to do at that point.
They did donate well, through Henry Ford Estate, Henry Ford Community College is on formerly Ford land. But I don't know if that was Ford land or the Ford Estate. It wasn't Henry Ford the first that gave us.
Right.
Well, it might have been. He was still alive, wasn't he? In 1950?
Well, I was thinking as well that anyway. U of M as well.
Well, U of M is operating the Ford Estate now, so they have the Ford Estate property.
Okay.
Or at least they're the ones that take care of it for Ford land.
Right.
I don't know the details there, but I know that Henry Ford, I saw a picture of him from around 1940s, late 1940, 1950. He gave a big grant of money to Henry Ford Community College, when we got the land here, too, from them, to start a tech school to train his people for him. And they stopped their tech school. Because they just didn't want to run it. You know, it's all those operating costs. And so let's give the money to the college, and they'll train for us, and it'll be cheaper. But they gave us land, which became by 61 this campus.
Right.
And they gave us, I think it was $10,000, but that was a big deal in 48 to get that school started, run by Henry Ford Community College, which at that point was probably, we were called Henry Ford Community College, but it was there's an East Campus, I think it was at Fortson High School or something, or was it on Lois at that time? But anyway, so Bouchard's idea, big deal, folks, gave him a half page, and I think it's only the big money people that'll be interested in that. What about the average person? That's my spin.
What happens if they build, though? Do you see creating jobs anywhere in there if they're building and adding?
Oh, yeah, construction jobs.
So that could be.
So and there's another tax base, coming into the city.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
They point this out. It's construction.
Did you think too much time or too much space was given? I get
business
that.
Is going to increase. Yeah. Right. Okay. Remember, the opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily of anyone other than those of us here, and not necessarily those of Henry Ford Community College, staff, employees, board of trustees, students. And another school, non-commercial station, was also indicating in these kinds of qualified, don't blame them messages, the sponsors of WHFR. Don't blame them either. And we have some underwriters, a couple shows that we mentioned on the air and say thank you to, but don't blame them either. They didn't tell us what to say, and they're not necessarily endorsing it, but we believe it. What do you believe? Get your ideas going. Okay. I'd like to turn to more stories. Forget about Hightower, yes.
Okay, oh, fine.
Yeah. No, Jim Hightower this week, and you can always go to jimhightower.com, folks. He's got a website, and you can even listen to these audio things we play. His opinion this week is about the corporations being freed up from any limit on contributing to the campaigns of political candidates.
Do you know what? I've got to jump in then, because when you said about the auto racers and, they're like NASCAR, their cars are filled with sponsor stickers. And my proposal is that we have the politicians wear patches of, the corporations that contribute to their campaign.
Instead of the one little tasteful American flag, every suit jacket has to have stickers appropriate to the amounts of money donated.
Oh, that's perfect.
Sewn on all of their jackets.
And has to be visible by at least a 70-year-old within 5 feet.
Oh, that's
so it has
good.
To be big enough,
that's
because
good.
Seniors are the ones that, are the have the biggest turnout at voting time. Mm-hmm. So anywhere in public, they should be wearing the suit that addresses shows it, who is putting.
It seems like they're bought and sold that way. And you know, I've talked a couple times to Representative Dingell, and he and I don't see eye to eye this. I point out how, yes, there should be more awareness of the public of who's giving in the money and what they represent and how you vote on these things. And he said, I get all this money from all kinds of people, and he has over the years. He's well known and sure. High seniority. He's on head of several committees and so on all that. And he's a wonderful guy in terms of many of the things he's done. Of course. But he said, I don't vote necessarily for anything people give me money for. Well, I think if you don't, they're going to stop giving you that money. I mean, there is a connection.
We're going to try this one more time.
Right. No, they may give you a little warning with the next check.
Right.
We don't know if we have the resources to fund your campaigns anymore. But there is that, and that's awful. It's terrible. And if you look at the stands made on either the issues of Wall Street financiers and the Wall Street banks or healthcare industry, you'll see that the people who are talking the biggest in favor of the healthcare mega corporations and the financial giants of Wall Street are the ones getting the lion's share of the contributions from these people. Now, you might say, well, that's just because they're already of that opinion. Well, if they're already of the opinion to support these corporations, why would the corporations have to give them any money?
Right.
You know, it's a thank you.
Sure.
Well, just make sure you're going to stay
it's
on
a
track.
Thank you before. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Put that on the back of your suit.
So I don't think Mr. Dingell's argument holds up at all. And in reality, for his situation, maybe he doesn't pay attention. Because if he doesn't get one funding, he'll get somebody else's because he's got the seniority thing going for him.
But I think it's unfortunate the Supreme Court decided in that latest decision that corporations can be seen as individuals.
No.
So
The corporations thumbs individuals, down. That's been a terrible decision, and it's been in place for about 20 years. That was made by a previous Supreme Court decision. They merely applied corporations are individuals to campaign financing rules.
Fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been part of various groups, action groups that have been against a corporation as a private citizen, and therefore, you know, being allowed all the rights and privileges mm-hmm. of a private citizen. We're the only country in the world that says that. I mean, it's just wrong. Europe doesn't say it. England, France, Latin America, Iran. No, all the countries, whether socialist or democratic, we're the only ones that say a corporation can have all these rights. Well, that's just not appropriate because they are already so big, so powerful, and profit motive is the only reason they exist. They can have major influence on everything, much more than even a rich private citizen. And so that's what the scary thing is, and it's got to be reversed. Now, in favor of the Supreme Court decision, they were looking at a rather narrow case, which has now been expanded because of the precedent they set. The case was, can a company make a documentary feature film attacking a candidate? I think they were attacking Hillary Clinton in the documentary that was part of this case. And the Supreme Court said, well, yeah, they could do that. They could make a movie. They could finance a movie. And the movie could be shown to the public or sell a DVD or whatever you want to. Even though, and you might say Michael Moore, Fahrenheit 9/11, certainly attacking George Bush and his policies back in 2004. Not that it had a big effect or the effect he wanted, but this is a company, a corporation decided to fund it, not just private people or Michael Moore's own pocketbook to fund it. A corporation did it. And so in that case, I can see there's a little bit, a corporation should have the right to make a movie if they want to.
Right.
And have free speech about that. But now, since they set the principle, yeah, corporations can spend money in influencing political campaigns. Well, it opens the floodgates to all the money, all the time, and not just making movies, mm-hmm. but directly into the pockets, really, almost literally, into the pockets of our elected representatives. And it's already happening indirectly and mm-hmm. with limits, but no limits at all now. And it's crazy. And Obama was right to criticize that. And the people in Congress, they're probably licking their lips. Oh, boy, all that money coming to us. We're already elected, so we're going to get more money as incumbents than those challengers. So we're the next election, we'll be having fun with all that money that's going to come in. So they don't want to change it. But that's what you have to do. Unless the people start a petition and start an amendment to the Constitution, it's going to be hard to change it because the people in office already love that lobbyist money from the big companies. And now it's unlimited. They're going to get more of the same and more from other companies too to influence our legislation, which is not fair. The voice of the public, individual people, is going to be gone because money speaks. It speaks a lot.
It's a golden rule.
A lot of money speaks very loudly.
Golden rules.
I'm afraid so. That's not being critical of our system, but it's critical of the excesses of or what's going to be the excesses of this new bill. So we hope our legislators do the right thing and pass a law saying we disagree with the Supreme Court, and they can do that. Supreme Court was interpreting, they can even undo that whole thing, the corporations are people, by legislation signed by Obama. But they're chicken.
I don't see that happening.
No, they're chicken. Okay. Press and Guide Wednesday. A lot of people did retire from the Dearborn Public Schools, and so ultimately the final number here is that fewer than 60 Dearborn teachers were laid off at the beginning of the month of February. After a slight fundraising funding reprieve from the state that we talked about before here on the show, and 26 early retirements. So four administrators were also laid off, by the way. 60 teachers, four administrators, 1 in 15. Okay. Judge Holcron is running again. He just confirmed that he'll seek a fourth consecutive term as 19th District Circuit Court Judge. That's in the Circuit Court building here in Dearborn. And it's interesting, as they pointed out, and good for you, Sean Delaney, a good reporter here. You got to have all sides to this. They typed in his press release about what he wants to do, and this would be his last term in office, your term limited, I guess, to four terms as a judge, and all his years of service, and so on. And but the article goes on right at the bottom, even on the first page, but it his leadership and his press release and so on fails to mention the controversial case that nearly cost Holcron his seat on the bench. And continue on page 7A. You can read it for yourself, folks, but good for Sean. I love reporters that actually try to give balance, that Holcron's record is not without controversy. For example, when he was city attorney in Dearborn for 17 years, he lost so many cases. Wasn't his fault. We were doing things wrong, folks. But he lost so many millions of dollars of court cases, I think, and it's my opinion only, and Mr. Holcron, Judge Holcron, I apologize, but it's my opinion that Mayor Guido, who was the one that got you into running for judge, wanted to get a new chief attorney for the city. Somebody that could win some cases rather than losing them. One after, you know, police department excesses and other. Just a fortune. He had a string there at the end of his 17 years of lost cases of trying to keep the city from having to pay out money for lawsuits against it. And I think Guido said, well, okay, I don't want to fire you. I like you. You're a contributor to my campaigns. I'm thinking he said this. I'll help you if you want to run for judge because you can do a lot less damage there, at least to the city. I'm just hallucinating here. And it was the Guido machine, with Guido's recommendation, I believe, that got him elected the first time. It's hard to, you know, run and win on the first time. But he had really so many losses. I mean, Deborah Walling, who's current city attorney for Dearborn, she's lost a few cases. She has a staff. I think she's doing a good job. She's winning a few, too. Cable TV, the Burton Katzman thing are going through, and she's in charge of that. And then this other issue about ethics violations on Holcron's, which he sort of skidded through, and you can read about it, page 7A, Press and Guide from this Wednesday. You know, vote for him if you like him. Don't vote for him if you don't want to. Judge Runco and he are odds and odds enemies, because Runco eliminated the position of Holcron's live-in girlfriend in this court office. She sued, did not win. But in part of the suit, who was funding it? They looked at the money. Who was paying for her lawyer? Holcron. Well, he's her live-in boyfriend. Okay. Nothing wrong with live-in boyfriends, unmarried folks. I'm not saying that's bad or good. I'm just saying there was this other thing, too. So in terms of working together as judges in the circuit court to make decisions, they're total enemies. Mm-hmm. And it's Summers who's been appointed as the head of our circuit court by people outside of Dearborn. Other judges appoint your lead judge here. And so Hultgren is not the lead judge. He's got to be really mad about that because he has more seniority. He's been in office longer than Summers has been, you know. And just Summers was reappointed to this, too. So he's got to be mad about that. He's been passed over again. But he was the one that had the ethical violations. All these other cases against Summers have been dismissed. Or, okay, I think he settled one out of court. Who knows? But sometimes you have to pay money to make things go away. But so I've got, I don't think Hultgren has a perfect record. And, of course, his press release would not indicate, in spite of the problems I've had over the years and the animosity with my fellow judge, you know, he wouldn't mention that in his press release. So we wish him well. I'm glad somebody's running for office, you know, and he does have some experience. And I hope after I said all this, I don't come up against him in circuit court.
I was going to say, you must have a good driving record.
Yeah. So far. Okay. Burton Katzman lawsuit is slightly delayed because Burton Katzman said, we need some time to look up some stuff here. Yeah, I bet they do. They've got some heavy-duty charges that we continue to file about their development of West Dearborn.
Can you make a cartoon backpedaling sound?
Yeah. That's Dennis, I know last week you wanted to mention that there's going to be community meetings about the upcoming 2010 U.S. Census here in Dearborn. There's some jobs for people that want to be census takers. You want me to mention the dates? I'm staring right at them.
Would you?
Okay. The League of Women Voters is having a meeting about the whole census process on February 18th. Today is the 12th. Yeah. Yes. And Dearborn Senior Services is having a meeting on the 24th. Now, if you're interested in maybe becoming an employee, okay, you can just directly contact the U.S. Census office about that, 313-943-2412. I'll give it one more time, but I know you don't have your pencils handy anyway. But U.S. Census, you can probably call City Hall and get this information. The U.S. The Census Bureau. Okay, so they're writing it down in the studio here. Amy, whatever you job. 313.
I didn't know this wasn't a paid position. I better get moving.
Yeah, I can't believe you're still here.
313-943-2412. Okay, so, and the League of Women Voters, you can contact them, Dearborn, Dearborn Heights. Their meeting is February 18th. And if you're a Dearborn senior and want to learn about the process, not necessarily the jobs, I don't know, maybe they do hire seniors. Why not? What's wrong with us? I'm a senior. Well, not technically. Next year, I'll be a senior in Dearborn, technically. But anyway, February 24th, there's a meeting of Dearborn Senior Services about the census coming up. Everybody needs to be counted. That's the bottom line. Everybody. So if there's a homeless person out front, invite them in for a week or two during the census and give them an address and get them counted. No, a lot of people are not registered. A lot of people are living with friends, but they're really living here, and they need to fill out the forms. I know some people in the past have said, I don't want to be counted. I don't want them to know anything about me. You have to give some personal information in the Senate,
sure,
in the census, about who are you living with, how many unmarried people are you living with, and so. And I know one person said in the far distant past, if they know where I am, then they'll come and get me if they start the draft again. A guy said that, but it could be a woman these days, too. No, they know where you are anyway, believe me. They've got those eyes in the sky. And anyway, no, wow. I don't want to get paranoid.
That's
here.
That's another show.
Yeah. But okay, so there you go. Tom Watkins has a crazy story about coffee shops. Should be, that's where all the unemployed go. Yeah, to drink a $3 cup of cappuccino, that's where the unemployed go. Tom, I think you're wrong about that. Maybe you drink the $3 cups of cappuccino, and he thinks they all should have free Wi-Fi for the unemployed to search the hotlines for jobs.
Well, McDonald's does.
Yeah. I think.
So while you're working,
Starbucks, I think, charges.
I know that's.
Doesn't Starbucks charge for their Wi-Fi, or is it free?
As part of the price of the coffee.
Yeah. Free with your cup of joe.
Yeah, for $3. Yeah.
But three is on the low end. Anyway, you know this weekend is, you guys, right?
Yep.
And you gotta remember, you have to remember something. I worked at a restaurant for a lot of years, and one of the five busiest days of the year was Valentine's Day. And I worked at a kind of an upscale restaurant, casual fine dining or whatever. So it was a very much on people's radar. A lot of people don't go out except for these major days, like Mother's Day, Easter, mm-hmm. and Valentine's Day. Anyway, I want to throw this out there. Do either of you know the actual origins of Valentine's Day?
Tell us all the exciting stuff about it.
Tell us so I can tell my kids.
Well, according to history.com, which
Ripley
is,
believe it or not,
where you guys, you know that that's where I get all my information. Every February across the country, candy, flowers, and gifts are exchanged between loved ones, all in the name of St. Valentine. But who was this character? I'm sorry, it doesn't say. It says, who is this mysterious saint and why do we celebrate this holiday? And I won't go into the, there's like as many, there's just so many different ideas of what happened and how this all came about. We do know that St. Valentine was martyred and had a reputation for being extremely compassionate and actually heroic. And so the different ways that this all came about are, it's actually irrelevant because we celebrate this day today. First celebrated, he said, well, it was in honor of his death around 270 AD, but it was first celebrated actually at 498 AD. Pope Gelasius declared February 14th, St. Valentine's Day in 498 AD.
He wasn't Irish and drove the snakes out of Ireland?
Who? Pope?
Oh, no, that's St. Patrick.
Yeah.
I'm getting the same
I think I just got set up. That was okay. Anyway, so for anybody that's looking for a last-minute gift or something to do for their Valentine, that significant person in their life, we could do what the Romans used to do, which is slice goat's hide into strips. Ugh. And then you dip it into sacrificial blood, and you go to the streets, and you slap women and crops with it.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
Well, is there an alternative?
Is there something romantic
That was considered romantic, actually. And I'm reading this directly from here.
I'm glad times have changed.
They actually had all the single women put their names in a big urn, and they had those city's bachelors would then choose a name out of the urn and spend the next year with that woman. And some of those ended up in marriages.
Wasn't this a so-called pagan society?
It absolutely was. Yes. And then it was Christians tried to convert it by incorporating a little bit. You're exactly right, Jay. And they incorporated a little bit of both. The pagan ceremonies and rituals along with the Christian ones.
And who was St. Valentine then?
Well, we don't know exactly. And that's what the part of the magic of this great weekend is, that we really don't know.
You mean why we know about more about St. Nicholas than we know about St. Valentine?
Yeah, we do. We do. Wow. They're not even sure, as I stated, when he died, which was probably around 270 AD, probably. We're not sure.
Okay.
So I just think it's very
interesting. I wasn't there.
There's
you think I was, but I...
Well, there's a lot of things that they don't know about it, but apparently they know that it is a good reason to celebrate. And that's
Hallmark certainly does.
Well, yeah. That's kind of where I was headed, yeah.
I like to say, in terms of Valentine's Day, first of all, Jon Stewart, I watch The Daily Show, of course, almost every night, Monday through Thursday night. He said... mistakenly, I believe, Valentine's Day was today. They haven't changed it because of it just falling on a weekend, right?
No, it's Sunday.
It's Sunday, it's the 14th.
Sure.
It's always the 14th.
Right.
So he was just thinking that...
Maybe it was...
Probably President's Day. He was getting confused.
Or Thanksgiving.
Yeah. But you know, hopefully love and romance is not just one day a year, folks. I mean, that's obvious. I mean, I say this around Christmas time, too.
Oh, that's a nice thought.
Compassion giving things that really have meaning to each other and sharing things that could be all year long. So I personally, I'm not a Scrooge when it comes to Valentine's Day. Is there a Scrooge name for Valentine's Day? But, you know, Bah Cupid, you know. I don't say that at all. I'm all in favor of the basic principle of being nice and loving to everybody. However, if you only celebrate it one day a year, that means the next day you can forget the heck about it.
Right.
You know, I mean...
You get it. See, I told you
you
got it.
I was loving last February 14th, yeah. And that's enough
and
for
I'll
a year.
I'll do it this Sunday, but that's it. Well, right. This started, it seems, as I read this, as more of a fertility festival than anything else. Which,
well, you know, we certainly need that. I'm all in favor of fertility.
Well, at that point, it probably had a lot more relevance than it would today, you know, the fertility aspect of it, so... Anyway, yes. I know that I'll celebrate it the way I always do with the candy and flowers, and I'll make dinner.
Yeah, there's not a lot of time left, folks. 4 minutes before Joanne Korczynski gets here. And because of a computer glitch, I don't have her theme song. Joanne, if you're listening as you're coming in, I'm sorry. We don't have any theme songs. I brought mine with me today on a chip, so we don't have your opening Highway 61 theme. So I've got a sort of a Valentine's Day ballad that I'm going to play at the end here that I happened to bring with me.
Oh, just happened to have with me.
And so it's going to be, and it's not blues.
How
so
fortuitous.
Yes.
It's a pathetic indie rocker ballad about a guy offering himself if anybody wants to have sex with him. So, but I think
an
that's
old romantic.
Appropriate.
And you had a problem with the goat's hide?
Yeah. Well, he didn't say anything about, you know, stripping the skin off or anything.
Oh, so, no, they were already, you know. Okay.
Now, politicians, as we were saying about Bouchard, was stripping their skin off, are already starting for the governor. One of the Democrats we want to follow, because now it's official, that Lansing Mayor Virge, that's V-I-R-G, like Virgil, okay, from Virgil Bernero, has joined the race for governor. And that was on the 8th, which is Monday of this week. He did a three-city tour, and he's going to stay mayor while he campaigns for the Democratic leadership position. And apparently there is a primary ballot to make that final selection next August of who the Democratic candidate for governor will be. So all these different candidates are going to come out of the woodwork. And one of them that people have been talking about, in fact, mainstream Democrats want this person to run for governor, Denise Illich. That's right, part of the... the pizza family and the stadium and the Red Wings and all.
Sure. Yeah.
Why? Well, not only maybe she's a wonderful person, credit to her gender and all that, and a good Democrat, but she's got a fortune. Mm-hmm. They don't have to do any fundraising.
That's
she's
a good
got
point.
Millions. Republicans usually pick a big businessman who's got millions. Rick Snyder has got millions, and the Amway guy who ran last time for the Republican
vote. Sure.
Yeah, he had millions, if not more than millions. And but Bonero says no money. Bonero, B-E-R-N-E-R-O. He's just an average person, and he's got maybe $10. Maybe he's got $100,000. Who knows? But he's not super rich. But he's an average guy, but he's controversial because he's been a harsh critic of the state budget cuts to local governments and Medicaid, and he's kind of critical of the record of the Democrats in the state for the last 8 years.
Well, that's
so
easy.
I think I think it is, but I'm just saying the Democrats need somebody who's kind of like an outsider.
Yes.
Who is going to criticize the ones that have already been there. Otherwise, the Republicans are going to be the only ones doing that.
Right.
That's why John Kerry, I think, dropped out. He's part of the old regime,
yes.
You know, and he can't, even if he has some new ideas, he's going to be burdened by that. So they think a lot of Kerry supporters and union supporters might go to him. So if you want more information about that, we got to go now, folks. But you can, I'm sure Bouchard, Michael Bouchard has a website now since he nominated, is out there. And there's four other Republicans running along with Bouchard. Rick Snyder is another one, and there's three more. There's only one announced Democrat going for the nomination at this point, State Representative Alma Wheeler Smith. Huh. Now, House Speaker locally, Andy Dillon, says he'll announce his plans before the end of the month. And former State Treasurer Bob Bowman might announce, too. And he's super rich, I understand, also. Bob Bowman and Denise Illich of the Little Caesars Pizza family, like it's a little family, not super rich. Oh, former Genesee County Treasurer Dan Kildee also may jump into the race, but Bernero is only one of two that have announced. You can go to voteverge.com to find out more about him. He's an angry young man, they call him, and he wants to get stuff done.
The
and
mayor
he's
of
had
Lansing
four was? Successful terms and balanced budgets for the city of Lansing.
And the Journal has been following him and his potential campaign.
Even a comment that I got here from the Michigan Chronicle, an African-American newspaper. They're not endorsing him at this point, but they're very interested in his campaign and think he has possibility. As well as Tim Skubick. That we've talked about. We haven't read a column of his recently because it hasn't been in the papers recently. I hope they didn't drop him at the press guide. But we'll see what... he's the Lansing correspondent for public radio and public television. And has his own show on PBS, of course, in Michigan anyway. Okay, got to go now. Hope you keep on top of all these issues. Keep your mind working. Read these stories for yourself in the Dearborn Times Herald and the Press and Guide. Read between the lines as we try to do. We're just trying to challenge you folks with ideas you may not hear elsewhere. That's what we do here. WHFR.FM, the station making waves. Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Dennis.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Same to everyone here.
Yeah.
There we go.
No matter how it's
And
done.
Now stay tuned for Joanne Korchinska and Highway 61. And we're going to conclude the show here with, I think it's a great romantic ballad, plaintive cry anyway for love, Take on Me, A.C. Newman.